The Touchdown City Show is presented by Masters Law Firm, West Virginia's personal injury lawyers, and Parmar Stores. If there's not a Parmar store near you now, there will be one soon. Coming to you from the Stone Church Studio in St. Albans, West Virginia, this is the Touchdown City Show.
And welcome into the Touchdown City Show, presented by the Masters Law Firm and our friends at Parmar. If there's not a Parmar near you now, there will be one soon. I'm Anthony Lewis in the Stone Church Studio. Joining me today, Michael Sussman, Derek Bailey, and the GOAT, number 22, Jaheim White. Avon Coburn. Welcome, gentlemen. Good to see you guys. As the Mountaineers with a blowout victory. Is that a blowout?
Yeah.
37-7.
I called that, too.
What's the line on a blowout?
Oh, that's a blowout. It was 37-0. Come on. That's a blowout. Anything over 17-21, because then you're talking three possessions.
In today's game, I just want to make sure I can call it a blowout.
If you pitch the shutout, too, definitely.
Yeah. West Virginia with the blowout, officially, according to the guys here, 37-7, and the Mountaineers are headed to the bowl series, or to the bowl season. They'll be bowling this year. West Virginia is now 2-0 all-time against BYU and has reached 100 yards for the eighth time this season. Under Neil Brown, West Virginia is 24-7 when running for 100 yards. So let's start with the offense, gentlemen. What did you guys think? How about our boys, C.J. Donaldson and Jaheim White?
I thought it was great to watch. It was great to watch them guys do what they do, man. It was fun. I seen C.J. with an extra step, like a little bit more burst. Jaheim, Ja, they call him Ja. He was balling. He was absolutely balling. Like, he was out there. It was fun. It was fun to watch that. It was.
We always talk about it every week. If you can run the football, you're going to win the game. The game's won in the trenches, and West Virginia absolutely controlled the line of scrimmage, especially offensively last night. When's the last time they had two backs get 100?
Actually, I believe it was Mathis and...
It feels like it's been a while, though.
It was against Towson.
Yeah, okay, against Towson. When's the last time they did it against...
Letty Brown, maybe?
When's the last time they did it against actual...
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. So you like to see that. They dominated the line of scrimmage, ran for over 300 yards. Big win. It's a good win. I'm happy with the win. That's a great win last night. That's how West Virginia football used to look all the time, and that's what we've become accustomed to.
Yeah, it was awesome. CJ really set the tone with that fourth down run on the first possession and then the two physical touchdowns. And then Jaheim White, he's getting in a rhythm now. They're kind of working him into the fold. His carries have gone up the last 3 weeks, and we're seeing the real product.
It's funny. There are the media types and people on Twitter and social media that I follow and believe, and then who put out really good stuff, and then there's a lot of bullshit out there too. But Brad Howe puts out some really good stuff. My friend Brad from – we worked at WVU together. He worked in the athletic department. He put out a stat maybe yesterday, so it was before this game – but he says 91% of CJ's fourth down yards have came after contact. So on fourth down, 91% of his yardage comes after contact, which means he keeps his feet moving. That boy tough to bring down.
Didn't seem like that, a couple of weeks ago. Like, he was falling like, somebody was blowing
him. This is
like,
on fourth down.
You blow on him, he falls down. But fourth down, he just looked different. He looked different yesterday. Than he's looked all season. Like, it again, man, competition brings everything out of you. And he looks different. He doesn't look like the guy that started the season off. And I heard a stat from an insider that our boy CJ's making about $200,000. And again, the issue is when you pay
allegedly.
I don't know if it's allegedly. I think that is a fact.
Well, we don't know, but all right.
Yeah.
But
he's been he's making about 200 bands.
He's making some money.
So with that said, man, when you pay people that don't have a – I can't say he doesn't because I don't really know him personally. But if you don't pay somebody that you would assume has an internal drive to get better regardless, I'm paid. Like, I ain't got to work. They sit back and rest. And, you know, when you do that, you get young guys that's hungry, that's going to step up.
I almost wonder, too, though, if maybe he wasn't dinged up a little more than we believe, because his carries have gone down the last few weeks from where whites have gone up, but he looks fresher, and he looks like he might even be more healthy. Or, like you said, it could be because, oh, I better start playing because this guy's taking my job.
Oh,
and that's a big fact, because White looked very good again, and we've all talked about how well he's played. Even in the limited role that he had, he was playing well. So as you see the carries for White go up, you might see some more production from Donaldson, and that does seem to be what we're seeing, which is fantastic. That's what you need.
Right.
He just keeps those legs moving and moving, and not everything has to be blocked up perfectly when you have a physical running back like that.
White finished the day with 16 carries, 146 yards. I mean, he was like a jet, man. He was hitting that hole, and he was gone. And then Donaldson finished with 14 carries, 102 yards. Good day of production from the backfield. There was even, you know, Garrett Green had some yardage, and Jalen Anderson had some yardage. So, great day from the running backs. Garrett Green, let's talk about him. Finished the day 12 of 24, 205 yards, two touchdowns. You know, I've said it for the last few weeks. He keeps putting up what I keep calling Pat White type of numbers, right? Although he didn't have to run the ball a lot last night. And because Pat lived in that 50 to 65% range most of his career. You know, here's my thing about him. I think he's getting better, but the missed throws, and correct me if I'm wrong, guys, if he cleans that up, I think he could be an elite quarterback in college.
I was thinking the same thing.
If he could just clean up the layups.
I mean, because if you think about it, he reminds me of Baker Mayfield. He has that charisma about himself. I don't know if he has the talent, but because Baker's going to make those plays. If he can clean that up, like you said, I think he can be elite. And Baker was, you know, absolutely elite. He won the Heisman. So in my mind, like, that's disheartening. Like, I mean, how do you miss these throws? Like, that has just really been bothering me.
We've talked about it all year long. He's just and that might be who he is. He's consistently inconsistent. Like, he'll make a great throw, then he'll come back and make a terrible throw. He missed guys last night. If he hit the throws last night that he could have made,
300 plus.
He's probably, and 50. We're going for a 50 burger last night on BYU, right. and it's going to get really, really, really ugly. But that's the thing with him. He's consistently inconsistent, and we keep asking, like, to hit those throws. I mean, he's got to do it eventually, you would think. Anyway, I mean, hopefully he's continuing to work hard to do it, and hopefully he does it eventually, because that's going to open up even more offense in the future for West Virginia if he starts to be able to, like, prove that he can hit these balls.
It's specifically the corner routes and the out routes. He's floating them too much, and he's short-arming them. Over the middle yesterday was solid.
Well, a couple of things, and I've talked about this for years. So shorter quarterbacks have a tough time throwing those routes because they can't see over the big linemen. The thing I'd like to see him clean up are the touch passes to the tailbacks. People were getting on Donaldson about dropping balls, but the thing about it is he was throwing them wide left, wide right,
over
his head. And you know, even though you hit him in the hands, it's still when you're hitting a tailback. Tell me, Ava, when you're hitting a tailback on a swing pass, it needs to be easy to catch so they can tuck and go. I mean, be like wide receiver-esque.
He's trying to make catches, or he's trying to throw the ball over his head on a swing pass. They need to be in front, you know, to where you could just catch it and tuck it and go. I mean, maybe behind, but he was trying to make over the shoulder catches. I mean, not that he was trying. That's how the ball was thrown. And it's tough to do that, even though he used to be a tight end. I'm like, he's got to be better. Like, he's got to, like, there's passes that you just got to be able to just dink in there. I mean, and make them work. And he's just inconsistently. I mean, Cocaine Bear was just,
he had a good day though.
He had a great day, I think. I mean, just managing, but he didn't have a great day. He had a good day because he missed some throws that would have kept us on the field. And I'm like, man, that's just, disheartening.
That's the thing, though.
I'm like, critical of him, too.
You know,
you're hard on him.
We're nitpicking, I feel like, because of the way West Virginia. But at the same time, are we really nitpicking? Because if he hits those throws, you're up 45-0 at halftime. Right. And then you can play the entire backups, and that's how you build a program. You put your backups in the second half, and you continue to run your stuff. Right. So if he starts hitting these throws, and you say, hey, it's 45-0, we're going to put in Nico, the backup offensive line, and we're going to have at it in the second half and see what happens. That gets those guys reps that are needed, and it builds your program. And so we need him to start hitting those throws, just not for only for that reason, but also for his confidence.
12 of 24 is not nitpicking. It needs to be 16 or 17.
Yeah.
I think if he would have hit Donaldson on a few of those, he would be in that range.
He missed one down the middle of the field on third down. The guy was wide open. Oh. Right down the middle of the field. It was on a third down. It was in the second quarter. I can't remember who the receiver was. He was wide open, and he missed him badly.
You know, so we spent minutes there tearing him down, so I'm going to build him back up. He does continue to move the change in chains, and he's been a good quarterback for West Virginia, I would say, this year. And I think I think the offense is getting better. Now, the competition may be getting worse, but the difference is we've struggled offensively the last few years, and this team is able to move the ball, and he's part of it, being able to move the ball, move the chains with his feet.
I agree with you when you talk about, the Pat White. I think he has that. I think he has that ability of I don't want to say this the wrong way. He doesn't have Pat White's ability, but I think he has that whole package of I'm going to move the chains with my legs, mm-hmm. make some passes here and there. But I mean, he doesn't have that special Pat White. If when he moves the chains, he can score. It's going to be a touchdown. Like, regardless of, I'm not going to get 5 yards. I'm going to get 60.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's the difference.
But and trust me, when I say that, what I'm talking about mostly are the passing numbers.
Right.
And then the ability to move the chains. He's put up over 100 a couple of times with his feet. Pat used to do that. But then again, like I said last week, Pat would go ham on you 1 week and get 240. You know what I mean? And just go nuts. And Steve's sitting there like, damn, man, you just took all my yard from me.
Can I get a carrier too?
I mean, that's over 34 games in a row, though, which 30 points used to be the Neil Brown automatic win. Now, granted, they lost two of those, but that's over 30 points, four games in a row. The offense does appear to be getting better, but this coming week we'll see. We'll get more of a test of where the offense really stands, I have a feeling, with the competition will step up significantly this next weekend.
Yeah, I think so too. The West Virginia defense yesterday – of course, that was a great performance by them. Getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback. Lee Kobo yesterday, 8 tackles, 1.5 tackles for a loss, and 4 solo tackles. I just thought the defense, that was fun to watch yesterday. If you like watching defense, and BYU's offense isn't great. That was a first start for their quarterback. Right. But, when your defense can tee off, everybody's dancing on the sidelines. It makes you just a little – trust me, them boys went out last night.
Oh no, they had a good time last night. It looked like you said, man, they were just sitting back there. They said, okay, we got fresh meat back there, and it looked like their quarterback was he looked like Nico. You know what I mean? When Nico got his start, he was just a deer in the headlights out there.
Yeah, I mean, it was good to see the defense, though. That's the kind of performance you want to see against a backup quarterback. Like, when they played against Texas Tech, that's what you saw. They couldn't move the ball. Mm-hmm. Fantastic defense last night. I was pleased. Burks makes a great play on a strip, recovering a fumble. You had Coca back there. There was somebody else that blew up a play in the second half and got a sack. I can't remember who it was. I mean, it was a defensive lineman. I think it was a defensive tackle. He blew a play up completely. But outstanding work by the defense, because we have given them they've taken their lumps through the gear. Let's just put it that way. So to allow only 7, I wish they'd have left them in there to get the shutout, but they didn't.
It was a dynamic performance. You give up 26 rushing yards in the first half, and you break up 8 balls on the back end. One player that's kind of flying under the radar is Anthony Wilson, kind of at that rover position.
Number 7, right?
Yep. He's fitting the run game. Mm-hmm. He's breaking up balls as well. And that's the scheme starting to work a little bit. He's kind of he has some freedom. Those spears, those bandits that Coach Leslie likes to use, are starting to play better.
So the guy that I want to talk about is Beanie Bishop. And it feels like we've hit the lottery with the transfer portal on this guy. Sometimes you don't know what you're – they've not had success with guys from the portal. And then they've hit some home runs with some guys. And this guy's coming around to prove that he's he's getting better week after week. And playing great. He had 5 pass breakups last night. And I'm not saying he's Aaron Beasley, but he's playing really good out there right now. And considering where this defensive backfield started,
oh yeah,
where it is now, that's night and day. He's part of it.
I was about to say, compared to where they were, he is Aaron Beasley compared to where they were earlier in the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's good to see him out there. And, you know, the cherries lined up on the portal with that kid. So it's good to see that.
That fourth down hit he had yesterday, that got the crowd going. That got the sideline going. Huge.
Yeah, that was a huge hit. And I was happy they didn't, get him for targeting because he was, not necessarily a targeting, hitting him in the head, but the guy was,
defenseless receiver.
Yeah, I'm like, well, how the heck are you supposed to, how are you supposed to hit him?
You can't play football anymore. Right. Let's just be honest.
I thought they was going to throw him out from there.
You could have pulled the flag off of his hip.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So have we been too hard on Jordan Leslie?
No.
Yeah, not.
I still don't like him as
a
person.
We haven't been. Hang on.
Do you know him personally? You say that every week.
I do. No, I don't. But I mean, just when you can go on.
So you
on
don't
national
mean as
TV,
a person?
No, not as a person. I mean, I'm just talking about as a leader.
As a leader,
I don't like him as a leader. I don't know him personally, but when you can go on national TV and throw young kids under the bus. He started talking about himself, and then he was like, "Well, because of that, no, bro, like just take it." And I can't forgive a leader like that. Like to me, it's going to happen again.
To me, this season, I don't care if they win. I don't care if they win out. To me, this season still doesn't excuse the entire 4 years that we saw before.
Oh, here goes
this,
Derek.
I'm just
being
saying,
negative.
I am going to be negative because Derek. Be realistic. Like I said. It's fine. They're winning games. It's fantastic. How many teams did they beat this year with a winning record?
BYU.
One. You beat one. How many teams did they beat were in the group of five last year?
A lot. We lost to one.
Yeah, lost to one. That's their only other conference win right now. They beat Baylor
just
in overtime.
Just enjoy
yesterday.
The wins, Derek.
I am enjoying the wins. But the thing is like I'm not overly excited about where the program's headed still. I'm just not, and that's fine.
You didn't burn a couch last night?
I did not burn a couch last night. Now, if we beat Oklahoma, I may burn the house. But no, I mean, like, we're still waiting. And for me, anyway, for me personally, I want that signature win. I want them to beat Oklahoma desperately. That, to me, shows progress. Beating BYU, Duquesne, TCU, these teams that stink, Texas Tech, and don't tell me TCU made the playoff last year. I'm aware. They're not very good this year, let's all be honest. That doesn't do it for me as showing progress, like great progress. I want to see great progress. It's year five. It's time to win big games.
Well, they have an opportunity this week as they head to Norman.
And that's you win that game, I'll say, hey, that's great progress right there. But then if you turn around and blow it to Cincinnati and Baylor, I'm going to be like, we're in the same boat we've been in.
All right. Don't forget, folks. Actually, this week I'm changing the process. We're going to do the Alumni Hall trivia question on the podcast. We're going to give everybody, the Sunday night listeners and the Monday morning listeners, an opportunity, not just the radio broadcast.
Yeah, those are the real ones.
Yeah, those are the ones that take the time to listen. So this week's Alumni Hall trivia question will be coming up in a little bit. Write down this number, 304-305-2TDC. Again, 304-305-2832. We'll get into that. The Mountaineers basketball starts tomorrow against Missouri State. We were talking before we hit record, Derek and I.
This could be a tough, tough, tough game.
Usually you just tune in and you have your beer and your wings and you're like waiting for everybody to kind of show out. Listen, this team won 17 games last year and they've got some P5 transfers. So this may not just be the cupcake that we thought.
They still in the Missouri Valley. The Missouri Valley generally plays really good basketball too.
Yeah,
I could not have ever told you who was in the Missouri Valley Conference.
Oh, Bradley, Creighton. Well, Creighton's in the Big East now. Creighton used to be in the Missouri Valley. Campbell, Evansville, teams like that, Missouri State, Southern Illinois.
What are they doing? They've won. I didn't even know this.
But they've won tournament games through the years. Like, they have had big time tournament wins. Drake's been in that conference. I don't know if they're still in it or not. They've had some shuffling, and I think Loyola Chicago is actually in that conference now from whatever they were in after they made the Final Four. But I'm not 100% sure who all's in it still.
So let me listen. It's been crazy ever since the stuff with Huggins and it's been a crazy summer for this team and these kids, and kids have left and they've re-recruited guys and medical issues and now suspensions. And I mean, what are our real expectations for this team? Like, if they only win 10 games, are we just like, we're a baseball school, let's just move on and let's get a new coach in here? I mean, or are you looking at it thinking, I want them to do something? What's your expectation?
I mean, my expectations of the program are probably a little higher than everybody else's. I think make the tournament. Now, this year, I'm willing to see how it works out because they had such a long off season. A lot of things happened. Guys transferring in, guys transferring out. We care about the kids. We're suspending you for 9 games and you're a kid. So, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of things going into this. And it's you don't know what you're going to get because some of the kids may tune out if they lose. It's hard to tell. So this year I kind of give them a pass, but I also want to see what Eilert can do. If he comes out there, say, makes the NCAA tournament, puts together a pretty good season, then what do you do as a program? Where do you go from there?
I like his press conference this week. He came out and basically just said, "Listen, we're not playing the victim here. Like, we're recruiting hard." Mm-hmm. We're coaching hard. We're coming to play and win, and I like that. Just not that. Good to see you guys.
I mean, he came out like prime. Like he came out like prime. Look, we're gonna win now.
Good.
I mean, and again, that's what you want as a player. Like, man, look, and again, most of those players don't. I can't speak for them. But if I'm on the team, I'm like, we got a chance. I don't care who leaves. Like, that's on them. Like, I'm here, so we got a chance to win.
Mm-hmm. If there's 13 walk-ons in that team, I hope all 13 walk-ons that are playing look at it and say, we're going to go out and we're going to win the national championship, because that's the mentality that the players should absolutely 100% have.
So let me ask you a question. Do you think South Charleston has that mentality?
You still got to be realistic. that's part of it.
I ain't going to do that.
This team does have a couple pieces. Edwards is a legit dude. You'll really know the identity when Carissa comes back. And do you think Seth Wilson, if he's more comfortable with Coach Eilert, will get looks and knock him down this year? Will we have that three-point shooting element?
I think he's going to be the difference maker. In the scrimmage against George Mason, I was waiting. I was waiting to see him knock down the open shots, but I need him to knock down contested shots.
I'm anxious to see the transfer from Iona. I don't want to butcher his name. I can't say it. I want to see him play because he showed to me a great shot and great confidence in that George Mason exhibition game. I look forward to seeing how he can develop through the year, because if he can knock down shots, it's huge for West Virginia. We always talk about, well, if they could make a shot, they'd probably win the championship every year. And, so here we are. We'll see what they do.
Speaking of basketball, don't forget this week, it's here, man. Full Court Press with Coach Bob Huggins. Don't forget to get information for that show. You can swing by PressVirginia.com. It airs statewide starting November 7th. It'll be Derek and Michael, myself, and then Coach Bob Huggins. Obviously the first few episodes, we got some things to talk to him about. I mean, he made some headlines this year. So we'll get into that with him. And then, moving forward, we're going to get into, we're going to talk basketball. I mean, we've been going up and meeting with him and talking to him. And I'll say this, just since the announcement, I've been on some statewide radio shows and people – and I don't want to speak for Coach, ever put words in his mouth, but he looks great. He seems to be doing really well, and I think he's excited about the opportunity to be talking basketball this year. So, it'll be fun.
Yeah, when you get to interact with him, you really see why he's so revered. He's just such a cool guy behind the scenes and a wealth of basketball knowledge. You can throw out anybody that's done anything you can think of in the game, and he's probably rubbed elbows with them. And it's just cool to get a firsthand
account.
Derek,
I'm excited to listen now, because you are that guy that has, I don't know who we were talking about, but you were saying, that conference. I'm like, I don't know how you know those. And that to me is going to, that intrigues me.
The Missouri, I can't believe you don't know the Missouri Valley, though.
Knock it off.
No, man, seriously, Northern Iowa beat Kansas one year in the second round. Northern Iowa was
seed. We played Creighton and beat them with a layup.
Yeah, Creighton was in the Missouri Valley the year West Virginia.
Absolutely.
I mean, those teams are generally good teams.
Nice.
So, but again, Full Court Press starting November 7th. Go to PressVirginia.com for all those details. So, also, too, don't forget, next week, the Sugar Bowl Foundation, we're going to be having our Game Watch Party at Buffalo Wild Wings Nitro Marketplace. Owen Schmidt, the Runaway Beer Truck, will be in the house. I've been working. So, I'm not going to lie. I've been, slow to the the punch, dragging my feet on this. This thing, doing the stuff with the hugging stuff. You know, we've been up, I've been up five times to meet with him. You've been three. Up three.
You say up, that's Morgantown?
We've been going to Morgantown. Well, okay. We went to Ohio one weekend to meet with him, just trying to get to know him a little bit, spend some time with him. So, and we've been so focused on that rollout, I've been dragging my feet with the Sugar Bowl Foundation stuff, which usually works like clockwork, and we're going to have a great event. Don't get me wrong. But I still got some I's to dot, some T's to cross. But Owen Schmidt will be in the building, and then we're going to have a lot of great items up for auction. My good friend Dell Sparks with the hookup on the beautiful matted, the WVU mats, and we've got tons of autographed pictures from, like, Jeff Hostetler, Steve Slayton, Pat White. I'm trying to go through the list in my head right now. Got Gary Stills, Mark Bolger. I mean, a lot of great stuff. So if you're into memorabilia or if you just want to come out and support the event, please do that. Check out the information at sugarbowlfoundation.org. Proceeds from the event we'll sponsor. Last year we did about 50 kids. We'll sponsor kids at Christmas from the Cross Lanes YMCA and the Davis Child Shelter. All right, it's that time. Check it out. This is the Alumni Hall Trivia Question of the Week, 304. And as Avon tries to distract me, 304-305-2-TDC. Again, 304-305-2-TDC. That is 2832. Avon's trying to throw me off with a picture of my sister. I guess she was she out last night?
She was in them streets.
All right, here's the question. WVU and BYU have played once before. They played in Morgantown last night, but they've played once before. What city did that game take place? Again, 304-305-2832. It's for a $25 gift card to Alumni Hall. I see some head shaking in the room.
I actually know that one.
All right. Yesterday, let's go through some of the games from yesterday. Jacksonville State, Rich Rodriguez falls to South Carolina, 38-28. The score does not indicate how close this game was. They were on their way in to take the lead.
Threw a pick six
with a backup QB.
Threw a pick six from about 85 yards. It was like an 85-yard return pick six. They were ready to score and take the lead in that game with about 2.5 minutes left.
And what stinks is all they had to do, even if he drops it,
they just kick a field goal and tie the game.
They're going to kick it and tie the game. They were trying to like milk the clock so they didn't leave South Carolina with too much time. But South Carolina, great call, play call defensively, brings the corner from the – from the quarterback's vision side, and man, he tattooed him.
He did.
And he just, you know, he threw that pick six, and it was over. But you know, great effort from the game. It was the Gamecock Bowl.
Yeah, they got their money though. That's all that matters. They probably got $1 million to go there.
Yeah. So Washington over USC. I didn't get to see this game. I didn't get to watch it. I was busy yesterday. But 52-42. Left Caleb Williams in tears, literally.
Crying. Yeah, he was literally crying. It was a good game. It was a good game till about the third quarter. No, I think it was the fourth quarter when they just started running the ball on them, and it was just they couldn't do anything after that.
I'd be sad too if I had to play with that defense on my team.
I watched this game opposite of West Virginia. I had it on another TV. And man, defense was optional. It looked like the guys were allergic to tackling. They were running untouched 45, 50 yards. I'm not talking pass plays. Right. I'm talking run plays.
It was a 7 o'clock game. We kept flipping to LSU.
They were running untouched 45, 50 yard touchdowns. And then USC ran a beautiful flea flicker. And I mean,
that flea flicker was phenomenal. I've never seen nothing like that.
The guy was so open. I literally could have thrown the ball to him. He was that far open. He was probably, there was no one within, 20, 25 yards of him when he was running down the sideline.
That probably was the most well-constructed flea flicker I've ever seen in my life.
They ran that perfectly. They did.
I was like, wow. Because, I mean, it looked like he ran in reverse, and then he came back, and then he tossed it back.
The guy was up the
side. It wasn't that traditional go down.
Right.
Flip. Yeah. He ran a speed sweep. And he said, turn around, come back, flipped it back to Caleb. Well, I mean,
could have walked in.
I mean, it was well constructed.
You got to be brave to run a play that develops. It takes that long to develop.
Well, against those defenses, I think anything would have worked.
Yeah.
But he could have walked in from like the 25-yard line.
Dabo got the win over Notre Dame, 31-23.
That always makes me happy.
He's been popping off in the press a little bit. Like, if you don't like it, man, I can bounce. You think his criticism is well deserved?
Oh, of course. I mean, he's won a natty. Like, It's hard. I mean, this is he's had really great players, and now like this year he's kind of struggling. Last year a little bit with the quarterback situation, but I mean he's still Dabo, like that. He can go get the players. His program is still great, and for people to do that, yeah, pop off. There's nobody going. No, they're not going to get another Dabo.
Let me say this though. I understand where that fan or whatever, whoever he was angry with, was coming from. I don't think he's saying Dabo Swinney needs to be fired or Dabo needs to go this and that. You make $11.5 million a year to coach a football team. You've won two national titles. You're not expected to lose by three touchdowns to Duke. You're not expected to lose to Miami because Miami's got three losses.
I agree with
you
that.
You win these games. That's all that fan is saying. Now, do I agree with Dabo the way he responded? He probably could have handled it better. He probably could have said, you know, we've had a lot of great success here. You know, I'm doing the best I can this year. We're not fortunate to win, but whatever. You don't act like that. You make $11.5 million a year. When he said apply for the job, if I was that kid, I'd have said, hey, sign me up. I'll go get fired after 1 year and make my $11.5 million and go home and sit the rest of my life.
I think the point that Dabo made on the phone call that made sense is that Clemson was not a powerhouse at all before he got there. And this is all new. This is all in the Dabo era.
No. I'm not disagreeing. Again, I don't disagree with what Dabo Swinney was saying, like the point he was making overall about the two national championships, all the wins. It's the way he handled it. He could have handled it better.
Why did he have to handle it? That fan didn't handle it that great.
Tyler from
wherever he was from.
Just because he makes $11 million.
This is Tyler from Rock Hill.
okay, hang on.
I'm married to you, Dabo.
Hang on. Here's the reason I say this. He's coaching football for an $11.5 million a year. What's your job as a football coach?
Win.
What's Dabo done this year? What's his record?
Five and four.
You're 5-4 this year, and I'm not saying, like, the past matters, it does, and Dabo's got a lot of cushion, he does. I'm not saying that he doesn't, but the thing is I'm in agreement with the fan. I want to win every game they play, and I know Dabo wants to win more than anybody, any fan or anybody calling in, right. So do the players on the team. The reason I say he could have handled it better is you don't just, like, you aren't void of criticism just because you're past. Like, you can be perfect in the past. Like, Bill Belichick, let's look at Belichick. 6 Super Bowls.
I agree with you. It's not saying void of it, but you can't be mad at him when he shoot back.
But that's
like
but,
no, you can talk
this is
to
Billy
me.
Ray down here. I don't think Myrtle Beach.
I don't again.
Shut your ass up, Billy Ray.
I don't care that he shot back. It's the way in which he shot back. He was you could hear the frustration. Like he could have just taken a deep breath and handled it a little bit better, in my opinion.
How though? Like, what is better? What is better to you?
The things he said was right. He don't have to come in and say, "Well, apply for the job. You're part of the problem." And blah 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 blah. Dude, he's just asking you a legitimate question. He asks you a question. You're sitting at 4-4. He asks you a question. You're making an $11.5 million a year. Like that's the kicker.
You keep bringing up his money. Yeah, he makes $11 million a year.
Hang on. What's the defensive coordinator for West Virginia make?
$250 an hour. Yeah.
He go get fired.
Hopefully. He needs to be.
Why?
Because
West Virginia's 6-3.
See, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
They beat Army in the Liberty Bowl.
No. The reason you'll never hear Dabo talk bad about his players or throw his players under the bus.
I've heard Dabo throw his players under the bus. Well, I have heard Dabo throw his players under the bus.
And what I'm saying, I don't know. I don't listen to Dabo the same way I just know our guy. You can't be a leader like that.
To me, you're in a public position making a ton of money. You're going to hear criticism. Just handle it he handled it well. Yeah. Other than a few things that he said, like don't criticize the fan.
It was defensive.
It was defensive more than just hey, you know.
So is he not allowed to? I mean, is he not allowed to be defensive?
In my opinion, not towards somebody like that. Would he take advice from the fan that called in?
I see where you're going.
Why
with
would
that?
You even get mad? Ooh. Just be like.
Don't look at me like that.
Just be like.
He's like, gotcha, bitch.
Just say, hey, Tyler. Hey, Tyler. We've won 10 games, 12 seasons in a row. We've won two national championships. We wish this season was going better. We're working very hard to make it go better. I understand you're frustrated. We're all frustrated, and we're going to continue to work and do better.
But you know, I'm glad he answered like that because that just shows
he has passion.
That he's passionate about what he's doing. Yeah. And if he didn't answer, like, and that's where I'm saying, I'm like, he loves what he does. And again, you're not going to win them all. If, you're not going to win them all, Derek. But again, I'm not just going to let you sit here and talk to me crazy. Like, hold on. Billy Bob and Ronald down the street. Like, no, bro, hold on. Like, we're not going to win them all. And yeah, we don't have the quarterback that we have. Let me go get the quarterbacks that he
Trevor
had.
Lawrence and Deshaun Watson.
Let me go get, I'm gonna compete.
But the thing is like he lost four last year. They were 10-4. Good season. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. They're 5-4 this year. If next year they come out like I saw a post from one of their message boards. Now I thought this was hilarious because people at the end of last year were starting to see some stuff that they didn't like out of Clemson. So they lose to Duke 28-7, and there was a message board poster. They post them on Twitter sometimes. It's like message board geniuses or whatever. They're like, oh, don't worry, guys. The fan base told me the sky isn't falling, so everything's good and hunky-dory. And then like a couple, he hit like enter a few times, and he goes, but wait a minute. The sky is falling. We just lost 28-7 to Duke. If you told me the sky's not falling, we're losing 28-7 to Duke. Where's it like? I mean, you know.
But it's not the same team. Like, that's not a Duke team. That's not a Duke.
I think Dabo deserves the opportunity to go out and fix it.
I'm not saying no. That's not at all what I'm. Absolutely.
But you're saying Duke. Duke is not the same Duke that it was in the '60s or in the '70s. Yeah,
they
were pretty good.
They're a little better this year.
They were good before that quarterback got hurt.
They were really good before that quarterback got hurt.
I'm not saying they're not, but I'm just saying. Usually, when you think of Clemson. Like, when you think of Clemson in the last 10 years, you look around and you're like, yeah, they're going to kick the crap out of everybody in the ACC.
Right. They should.
Yeah. Right, yeah. They should. Yeah. They should. But, I mean, again, if you don't have a quarterback, that to me, if you don't have a quarterback that can lead effectively, the chances of you winning games, like, it just, I mean, I don't care who it is. Like, even the Tennessee beat Alabama because they were shaky at quarterback. I mean, I think if Tennessee played Alabama, not Tennessee, I'm sorry, Texas. Texas played Alabama right now.
Yeah.
They would win. Alabama would win because they're more secure at the quarterback position.
But all the other stuff aside, thank you, Dabo, because it's any time Notre Dame loses is a good day.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, my God. I am a Notre Dame hater. Yeah,
Sam Hartman, the Heisman candidate. Remember that, all that buzz after he beat Navy? Was it Navy or Army?
Navy. They beat Navy. They have three losses now.
Derek brings it home. All right, West Virginia, bowl eligible for the first time since 2021 when they got, I don't even want to say curb stomped, but it was just an ugly football game in the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. The Minnesota, they got beat 18-6. It was like one of the most pitiful displays of football I think I've ever watched.
Welcome to Big Ten West football.
Oh, boy. But the good thing is they're bowl eligible. I've seen some...
weeks to go, like, you know, years passed. I mean, when they got in, it was like... the last game of the season.
Yeah, they snuck in 2020 and 2021. So it looks like, you know, so the projections I've seen them playing in the Liberty Bowl, which is a matchup against the SEC.
I saw Alamo this morning against Southern Cal.
And I've seen the Pop-Tart Bowl, which is the old Citrus Bowl. Mm. And I believe like that's an ACC.
That's actually ACC. The Citrus Bowl?
It's the old Citrus Bowl.
Mm, that's a good bowl.
Yeah, so that's against the ACC opponent. It was the Camping World Bowl a couple years ago. So these sponsor names throw me off. I
don't know what bowls.
Here's the time of year I get to complain about this. So it should always be the Citrus Bowl and whatever sponsored by whatever. Stop messing with the. I know they want to get their bang for their buck, but you know, even Dollar General, like, just sponsor the bowl and still let it be whatever it is. You know, the Dollar General Bowl. Sounds kind of generic.
Yeah, because you still get your logo all over the field. You still probably get 5 to 10 spots during the game. I mean, the partnership can still be there without wrecking the brand.
Yeah. So, if they match up against an ACC team in the Pop-Tart Bowl.
Maybe we'll get Dabo.
We might get Clemson. We could get...
Virginia Tech's coming on. They lost yesterday, but they're still coming on to bowl eligibility. Georgia Tech's going to possibly be bowl eligible. Boston College,
I think,
as bad as they've been, they're bowl eligible.
I think we'd be playing like a 7-win ACC team.
BC 6-3.
Okay. So it might be Boston College over in the Alamo Bowl.
Alamo Bowl, if they said USC, that's probably like your 4th or 5th place Pac-12 team.
And then that's about where you'll land for...
if you get that SEC school, the 4th place SEC school,
Liberty Bowl,
could possibly be LSU.
LSU, yeah.
And I don't think you want any part of LSU.
Or possibly Tennessee or Kentucky, because there's going to be probably 2 SEC teams in the championship. So that'll bump everybody up a spot.
LSU was going toe to toe with Bama last night.
Yeah, we don't want LSU.
Did you see the hit though? They didn't call targeting.
Yeah, I saw it.
That was cheap, man. That was cheap.
Yeah, I saw it this morning. All right, West Virginia for the last time, heading to Norman. Can the Mountaineers pull it off, gentlemen?
I 100% believe they can. I mean, we're playing at a level right now, offensively, and again, it's hit or miss. But I truly believe we have a chance to win this game. I mean, we are doing some things on offense, and we have some players now. We just got to make sure our quarterback still, you know, throws the ball to us, and you know, we catch the ball. And if we can do that on those third downs, we're going to win this game. And it's going to be a really good game. I mean, it's good. The house is going to be rocking. And I mean, I think it's going to be one of those high-scoring games. You know, I would say 30, 35, 38, West Virginia pulling it out. And Derek, stop side-eyeing me right now. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, they have a chance. I was gonna text this in a group text last night. They got a chance to make it to this final. If we went out, we got a chance.
They're not disqualified from the Big 12 championship.
This is where it's disappointing to lose the Houston game because you're sitting pretty really in conference standings. Overall, I don't know what to expect this coming weekend. Oklahoma, I don't know if their team will lose it like they did last year. I have no idea. I think Oklahoma will respond a little bit. I think they'll actually beat West Virginia. I don't think it'll be a high-scoring game, just my hunch. I think it's going to be close. I think West Virginia can absolutely go in there and win, but I think it's going to be like 27-17, something like that is what we're going to see in Norman. Oklahoma will win, in my opinion.
The defensive line has played well recently. Getting pressure to Dylan Gabriel is going to be key in this game. I think that the Mountaineers do, and you get that signature victory, 27-21.
You know, obviously, I think this comes down to what defense shows up. We need our defense to show up next week. We need some turnovers. I think the offense is going to do what they do, but I think this is going to come down to how the defense plays. And if we can get a couple of turnovers, because now my thing is, now Oklahoma's probably looking around the locker room a little bit, like, who are we?
They're trending two in a row. Down. They're trending down.
Right. And I think you can come in and maybe go for the kill shot and really and end it for them. So, I think West Virginia can do it next week. I'm gonna pick the Mountaineers.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this:
last week I would not have said that.
This is Anthony's weekend, though.
No, but I saying that, that's why I think we can pull this off, because it is Anthony's weekend, and we've gotten destroyed before on during these games. But you said they were trending down, and I wanna before we kind of close, I do want to kind of get back to you, Sus, because. Is it signature? Because they're trending down. It's not like, and I was thinking that too. Yeah. They're not
in brand not, name.
But I mean, we beat them last year, so it's not.
I said they were trending down because like they
but they are.
Yeah,
though.
They've played Central Florida in a very close game. You lose to Kansas. You lose to Oklahoma State. That's why I think they're trending down. But we'll see what they're made of. Last year when they trended down, they just went down. Like they never recovered. This year, we'll see how they respond. I think they're going to respond a little bit differently, unfortunately, for West Virginia.
Yeah, they're still just a two-loss team. I think going to Norman, especially right now, because then you're home free to your point to potentially make the Big 12 championship. Yep. So in the spot with the significance of the game on the road against that team, I think so.
Yeah, they're still playing for a spot in the title game, too. So I think they'll come to play. Like it'll be a good win. If West Virginia gets it, it's a good win.
All right, gentlemen. Appreciate you guys this week here on the Touchdown City Show. Don't forget, if you'd like to check out any information about the show, head over to touchdowncity.com. Make sure you're subscribed. And also, do us a favor, leave us a review of the show. We appreciate it. For the guys here at the Stone Church Studio, I'm Anthony Lewis. We'll see you next week.
Visit our new website at touchdowncity.com. The Touchdown City Show is produced by Anthony Lewis in partnership with HD Media, the Charleston Gazette-Mail.